We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Back to 755 Forever. I'm David O'Brien, Braves writer at The Athletic, and I'm with Eric O'Flaherty, former Braves reliever, my co-host. What's going on, Eric?
What's up, Dave?
I called that one on the sweep of the Marlins, huh? Not too hard to call.
I was thinking that last night.
Bad team, man. Yeah. Bad team, good team. Bad team against a good team, and what is supposed to happen happened. Although there was certainly some drama at the end last night.
Yeah.
I was just commenting to some guy on Facebook who told me I had put a paragraph in on my Facebook post about the night that Ronaldo Lopez had it, fourth straight exceptional start. I mean, that guy's solid. And a guy answers, "Bullpen blew it," in all caps. I'm going, you know what? If your team is so good, wins so much, that as a fan, you get the indignation to use all caps, right? "Bullpen blew it." When they made you wait one inning to win the game and finish a sweep, then you're pretty fortunate. You follow a damn good team if that's the case. If you actually get worked up enough to complain about bullpen blew it in a game they won 10 minutes later.
That's how it goes. You know, that's why relieving is a tough job. You know, I mean, these guys have been great for all but one series. And there's always somebody, somebody ready to call you out when you have one bad game.
That was one of those painful blown saves when you they're all singles, you know, when it's all singles or walks or and a big error on Matt Olson. But they start it's 3-1. They've had three hits the entire game against Ronaldo Lopez and Joe Jimenez. Joe Jimenez, by the way, is as good as any reliever in baseball right now.
Yeah,
as effective as any. And then Iglesias comes off with a 3-1 lead, single, single, single to start the inning. And then it was it wasn't that a totally routine play, but it's a play Olsen's got to make. And Snit was like, "Oh, that was a bad hop." I'm like, okay. And he always protects his guys, to his credit. That's what you want him to do if you're a player or a fan of the team. But it's a play even Olsen would say, I got to make that play. And the thing is, if you don't make that play, you got to get in front of it and knock it down. So only one run scores, you get the out at first base. The ball caromed off him and rolled to the camera well. So two runs score on it. The game's tied all of a sudden. It's like, what happened? But I think it says a lot about this team when they don't even get flustered for a moment and they proceed to make great plays to get out of that inning. Another great play in the next inning to prevent a run, and then they score a run on the first at bat of their bottom of the 10th to win a game.
They've done it so many times.
Yeah.
You know, and you talk about all the time how important confidence is in baseball, but I'm sure when something like that happens, this team's so good, they're like, damn it, now we got to eat like 20 minutes later. You know, I'm getting kind of hungry, but I don't think they ever panic. And when you have such a history of winning late, you know you have a good bullpen, and you know your lineup's not going to be held down, especially when you're getting a free runner at second to start every inning.
Yeah, yeah. That's almost like with this Braves team, that's almost like it's a given.
Yeah.
The only question is, are you going to prevent the other team from scoring? Because they're going to score.
Yeah.
But so the Braves complete a sweep of the Marlins, and it was total domination. The Marlins literally scored one run until that two-run ninth inning. One run in the entire series. Braves pitched back-to-back shutouts. Lot to commend, lot to talk about, a lot of encouraging signs. I don't think any of them more encouraging than Max Fried.
Yeah.
I mean, for anybody that was worried about Max Fried, I know it's just the Marlins, but that was a utterly dominant performance. Three-hit shutout with no walks in 92 pitches. A Maddox, under 100 pitches, complete game, shutout, 9-inning shutout. And an hour and 54 minutes.
A Maddox, that's what they call them. Those quick, complete games. But I hear the Marlins thing, but you go do that in Double-A, put up a performance like that, it's impressive.
Yeah.
As a major leaguer, it's tough to throw that many innings and not make mistakes that even Double-A guys are going to capitalize on, or have one inning where you don't have it and your control's a little off, you walk a couple and give up a cheap hit. But to have that clean of an outing against any level in pro ball is impressive.
He had all of his pitches working too, yeah. Man. Five or six. I mean, he was throwing them all for. I mean, it was when he's doing that, he's as good as anybody. I mean, he's a throwback too, because he's not up there throwing 100. He's up there pitching, painting, hitting every corner, up and down every corner with so many different pitches, changing speeds. It was a master. It was a master class in pitching, and Darno behind the dish was perfect for him. I mean, they were in sync the whole night. So that was two nights ago in the middle game of the series, and Ronaldo Lopez comes back. He said, watching that, I felt like I had to go seven. Lopez had gone six innings in each of his first three starts for the Braves, had given up one run in his first one, then nothing in the next two. So last night he goes seven, gives up his first homer of the year and only his second run of the year on a Jesus Sanchez bomb in the second inning.
I don't think I've ever seen that guy hit a ball less than 450.
Oh, man, God, it was conservative. The estimate was, I thought, absurd. 431, it hit off the LED facade thing that they now have on the top, on the roof of the chop house in right field. Hit off the facade of that, the roof. It had to be over 450. But anyway, 112, 113 off the bat. But the important thing for the Braves was, it was a first pitch changeup, which is Lopez's fourth pitch. I mean, that's his fourth pitch. And he said, yeah, that's on me. That's a non-competitive pitch. It's my fourth pitch. And I left it up. He did what he's supposed to do with it. So,
yeah,
cap tip to him. You move on till we face him again. But the thing is, he got locked in right after that. He strikes out the next two guys, Tim Anderson and Nick Gordon. It was like, boom. If anything, it got him more locked in. And he walked the leadoff guy in the fourth. But other than that, he got 1, 2, 9 outs in the next nine batters, including a double play grounder, two double play grounders to end innings. So right now, I'm Max Fried and him and Chris Sale are my playoff rotation starters in a best of five. And then you add Charlie for a best of seven. But that's what I do right now. Now, something's going to happen between now and then. You know, it's a long way to go. Somebody might get hurt. Somebody might fall off or whatever. But that's right now, I would feel terrific about going into a postseason with those three in my rotation, or with Charlie in place, so you'd want them either. But Lopez right now, he's nasty. Well,
it's like you said a second ago, you know, you talked about Max, and it's like when he throws like that, he's as good as anybody. I think that's all three of them right now. You know, Ronaldo's nothing like I expected. I didn't get excited at all because I heard this guy with 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and I'm like, all right, here's an experiment. He's going to be throwing as hard as he can. He's going to gas out in the fourth or fifth inning. You know, like, he'll be fine because the rotation is so deep, but, you know, the bullpen better be ready every fifth day.
Yep.
You know, that's how I was picturing it, and he's nothing like that. It's so refreshing to watch him throw now because he's pitching, and he makes pitches. He competes, gives up that homer, comes right back. Like, mentally, he's nobody like I expected. And you see so many pitchers like that now that you hear all this good stuff about, and they got this 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and it's like a five-hour game. You know, they get through five, they walk six, strike out nine, give up a couple hits, and every at-bat is deep in the count. He's the opposite of that. I mean, he's attacking hitters with quality pitches, and it's just so refreshing for me to watch.
Yeah, everything about him is different than I thought it was going to be when I watched him face the Braves last year as a reliever, throwing 100, throwing 98 to 101, blowing guys away with fastballs only. I thought that's what he is. Okay, he's one of these guys that's going to be 100 miles an hour until he gets Tommy John. You know, and when the Braves sign him, I'm like you. It's like, okay, he'll go five innings, and then they'll go to the pen. They'll be fine. And then when they need to move him to the pen after they have a couple of injuries, they'll move him to the pen, and one of their young guys will be ready to plug in. Now, my whole thought process has changed on him. Now it's like, are you kidding me? There's no way you're moving that guy to the bullpen. Yeah. There's no way.
No. And if he was putting up the exact same numbers, but you were watching him throw the way you expected.
Right.
Like, if he was putting up the same numbers, but sitting 101.
Right.
You'd be like, all right, at some point, these guys are going to figure out how to hit that fastball. But the way he's pitching, like pitching, it seems so sustainable.
And Snit loves him because it's like, what we're talking about, he's pitching. He's using three pitches.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting like 95 with his fastball. But when he needs to a little more, like to strike out a guy, he can get more with his fastball, and he throws his slider a little harder and gets a little more bite on that. So that's when Snit said the closer comes out of me, because I think that's a good way to be, you know, sitting 95, 96, not throwing 98, 99 max effort. He's not max effort out there all the time.
Right.
And he's a horse too. He's a big, strong dude. So like Chadwick Trump said, he goes, I think he could throw 97 in the seventh inning if he wanted to. But he's a pitcher. Easy. He's smart.
Yeah, it's really refreshing for me to watch, and nothing like I expected.
So you had a series against the Marlins, which started off also on a great note. Bryce Elder comes up, and he's a guy we've talked about. You love his stuff. You thought, you know, he just got tired last year, that he's going to know how to get through a season this year. He got optioned in March 18th, and he told Snit, I'll be ready when you need me. And he said he told himself, I'm going to go down, whether I'm in AAA or the majors, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to throw strikes. I'm going to get outs. And I'm not going to worry about that. If I'm down there all year, I'm down there all year. If I come up, I'm going to be ready. And he came up, and man, was he ready. That was a strong start that he made against the Marlins. Pitching into the seventh inning with, importantly, again, no walks.
Yeah.
Back-to-back games with no walks by the Braves, some of their starters. But he got the whole thing started, set the tone for it, and got himself a place in this rotation if he keeps throwing like that. Because now they don't have to keep churning. And unless they want to, the only reason they do it now is if they want to plug a guy in to give the other starters extra rest. But there's no reason to move Elder if he throws like that again. So he gets to make another start. And obviously they're going to keep going with him if he keeps pitching like that. So he's got an opportunity here now. He said what we asked him about last year, what he learned from the second half fade. He said some of it was physical, but it was more mental, the grind of I know what to expect. He goes, I wasn't ready for that. And he goes, I feel so much more ready for it now, physically, but more mentally than anything.
I can relate to that. I remember after my first season in the big leagues, Heather, my wife now, just said I was just like a zombie for like 3 days. She was trying to talk to me, and I wasn't responding to anything. She couldn't really understand it. She's like, what's going on? You had a good season. And I was like, mentally, I'm just not. It took everything out of me, to the level of focus, especially if you're a guy like I was, or Elder, who when we pitch, we got to be pretty perfect.
Yeah.
You got to focus and lock in on every single pitch.
Right.
And
it's exhausting.
The mental energy. And it's, as a reliever, you got to be ready every day. But even as a starter, I mean, to focus for seven innings, the reason I wasn't a starter, I'd have two or three good innings and just go to La La Land. I'd just check out, go on autopilot, and give up a four spot. So mentally, I was more suited for those short bursts. But even as a starter, I mean, focusing like that for seven innings, where, with his stuff, he's got to be pretty fine with it. And it works. He's got to challenge hitters and throw a lot of strikes and get ahead and trust that thing. But he's also got to make sure, like, we're 0-2. This slider I'm going to throw down and away. I don't just check out and hang it. Because then he gives up a two-run shot. So the mental focus of a season.
Yeah.
I mean, you start in February and you finish in October. It's a long time to be focused and diligent about everything you do.
Especially a guy like him. He does start in February because he's got to win a spot the last 2 years in spring training. Every start matters in spring training, or he gets optioned 2 years in a row. He gets optioned.
Yeah. And that's such a difference. My first really good season where I felt like I cemented myself was the first year I had guaranteed money, and I was on the team. I went to ARB after 2010, And I came back and it was like, oh, okay, I can actually work on stuff this spring. I'm on the team. Everybody believes in me. That extra month and a half of not competing, you know, of getting ready, but not worried about your job and having to check the papers and who did what and am I going to be on the team? It's a major difference mentally.
So he got a ton of ground balls, which is his game, man. That's what he tries to do. He throws his sinker, gets them to hit the ball on the ground. And the Braves have got a hell of a defense. Their infield defense, as they showed last night. Austin Riley might be the most underrated infielder in baseball right now. He went from being a liability in the view of many a few years ago at third base to being elite over there now. I mean, he is way above average over at third base right now. He made a play last night that not many guys in the majors make. That ball was hit sharp, 99 to his left, 99 miles off the bat to his left. He lunges left. I mean, game's on the line. Lunges left, makes the play, and does like a pirouette on his knee and never panics and makes a relaxed throw bullet to the plate.
On the money,
Darno pulls him off the bag just a little bit into the where he can make the catch and block the plate because he can block the plate when the throw's like that. And runner had nowhere to go. And that was just a great play. Anything could go wrong with that play. I mean, when he went to his left to lunge for it, he could have gone awkwardly on his knee and kind of fell. And when he tried to spin on his knee, pirouette
lose
on his
your
knee.
Lose your balance. Yeah.
Throw and it over. And then to make that throw after getting turned around. That was a great play. And then Arcia made another one in the to save the game. He fields a grounder and doesn't hesitate, throws home to get the runner. To prevent the run instead of getting the easy out. And Arcia's got an above average arm. But man, those throws he makes to the plate are always on the money. He never panics. He never throws it 3 feet off the where he pulls the catcher away and can't make the tag. Never.
He's got that it factor. You know, like he's just got that. He's got that competitiveness and that decision making that's just instant. And it seems like every situation he makes is the right decision and knows exactly where to go. And there's some instincts that, you know, I think you see it a lot of time with the Latin players, like a Latin shortstop, that they've been playing competitive games and making these plays, but they never feel pressure, it seems like. Like he's always the game's slow to him. When you watch it, it's like every decision's easy and he makes smart ones.
He's got that mental clock like Edgar Renteria had, but like Angelton really had, because Angelton had a hose. He could throw 98 as a pitcher in college.
Beat every runner by a step.
And he threw it just enough to beat the runner by a step. If it was a slow runner, I'm not going to waste a 98 mile an hour throw on this.
Yep.
He'd gather himself, make the throw, get the out. And Arcia has that clock too, man. He's quick enough. He moves quick enough and gets rid of it fast enough to get even a fast runner. But if he didn't have to, he doesn't waste it. He's just a... Dansby had it too, that clock. I think all the really good shortstops have to have that clock in their head. And you see just bang, bang plays all the time, but they're usually the one getting the out.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dave Lizotte here with a Gwinnett Stripers update. The AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves is back to the 500 mark at 11-11 after a pair of come-from-behind road wins over Norfolk. Gwinnett has started the trip with 9-4 and 4-3 wins over the defending AAA national champions. Two of the Braves' 40-man starters, Alan Winans and A.J. Smith-Shawver, are coming off solid performances. Winans struck out 8 over 5 and a third 3-run innings on Tuesday, and Smith-Shawver fanned 7 more over 5 3-run innings on Wednesday. Lefty Ray Kerr struck out 2 over 2 hitless innings for the save on Wednesday. He's now 3 for 3 in save chances and carrying a 2.45 ERA in 8 ballgames. Offensively, Forrest Wall has been hot since being optioned on April 19th, batting .471 with a .1021 OPS in 4 games. Gwinnett has added another veteran bat this week as former Houston Astro Yuli Gurriel joined the club on Tuesday. He debuted on Wednesday, going 0-for-2 with a pair of walks. The Stripers have 4 more games in Norfolk before returning to Colray Field in Lawrenceville for a 6-game series against the Durham Bulls, AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays, from April 30th to May 5th. Tickets are on sale now at GoStripers.com.
Try not to think about it too much. Stay in the moment as much as you possibly can. Having really good conversations with Travis, working really well with him. And honestly, just trying to get back to the basics of who I am, and that's getting weak contact, getting ground balls, and being on the attack. And, it was something that I really wanted to, emphasize this start, and, I felt like I was able to do that pretty well.
So this homestand has been terrific for the Braves. They've won 5 out of 6 games, 2 of 3 from the Rangers. They've won 9 out of 10 right now.
Yeah.
They have best record in baseball. But this homestand, after that bad last start in Philly or in Houston, they come home. The homestand starts with Chris Sale throwing 7 innings for the first time this year, gives up 3 runs and 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts against the Rangers to start the thing. And that was the Darno 3-homer game with the grand slam. Saturday, you go to Charlie Morton. He goes 6 innings, gives up 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 91 pitches. That was strong. Sunday, the only bad starter they had in the 6, and that was by the plug-in starter, Darius Vines, in a spot start. It wasn't terrible.
And it wasn't a bad start. He hung a couple changeups.
Exactly. He went 5 innings, gives up 4 runs, 7 hits, no walks. Importantly, no walks. And that was a plug-in start. A guy had pitched in 10 days.
Going 5 and giving up 4, there should be like a calculator for when you have the Braves offense. That should be a quality start.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're giving your team a really good chance to win.
No, I was wrong. I said he hadn't pitched in 10 days. This was his second start. So actually, the one before that, he hadn't pitched in 10 days. But anyway, so Darius Fiennes does that, and then he gets optioned down, and they bring up Elder in a couple days after that. But then the against the Marlins just started out, Elder. Yeah, they optioned him, brought up Elder, and they buy more rest for the other starters, yep. And it allows them to shuffle the rotation. Because we thought they would have both – I thought they would have both lefties in the rotation to start the season against the Phillies because it made sense. So you had Freed and backed by Sale in the 2-3 spots. Well, when they had an opportunity both to give more rest to Lopez, keep him on this once a week – actually, it was 8 days this time. He got 7 days rest – they had an opportunity to give him more rest and the other guys. They did it by bringing Elder up the day after Vines starts, and it gave him the opportunity to shuffle the rotation. So now you split the lefties, and you've brought Lopez, in effect, from number 5 starter to number 2 starter, which the way he's pitching is where he should be. He's behind mm-hmm. Freed now. So then you got Sale at 3, Charlie at 4, and right now it's Elder at 5, which I think makes a lot of sense the way this thing's going. So you split the lefties now. Not a huge deal, but if you give an opportunity to do it, it makes some sense against most teams. So Elder comes up and goes 6 2/3, gives up 8 hits, no walks, no runs, only 4 strikeouts. That's his game.
That's how he's got to pitch. The walks are the ones that sneak up and catch you because you give him that free pass, and then they get their 2 singles and they get a run or 2 across. But if he trusts his stuff and doesn't walk anybody, you're just giving up ground balls. If they're hit hard, they go through a hole, whatever. You know, you got to play those odds when you're in his position.
Max throws the three-hit shutout in 92 pitches Tuesday. Gets his ERA under 5, which it was at 7.71 for that. And then last night, you got Ronaldo Lopez goes 7 innings, gives up 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. So that's a hell of a homestand pitching-wise. And voila, we talked about how the bullpen had the one bad series against the Mets, including the grand slam that was charged off a utility infielder, Guillorme. But when they have normal usage and you got starters going 6-7 innings, look what happens. This whole bullpen is just absolutely dominant.
Yeah.
When you go with your main guys most of the time, but you have other guys you can go to too. But, I mean, Joe Jimenez, like I said, him and Pierce Johnson and A.J. Minter, of course. Those three, I mean, then you got your closer, Iglesias. Hell, you could go with if Iglesias went on the IL or whatever, you're still fine with those three.
Yeah,
I mean, how many teams could say that?
No, not a lot. I mean, they could seriously just draw out of a hat who's closing that day out of those few guys, and you'd be fine. And they've all done it. You know, they've all been in those positions and done well.
I thought D-Row this morning pointed out something really – it showed his pitches. Minter, he's in the – he had a hell of an inning. And A.J. comes in and pitches after Jimenez pitches the 8th, Iglesias blows in the 9th. A.J. Minter pitches the 10th. And he's just like such a veteran out there. He comes in, gets a ground ball with the guy at 2nd, moves the guy over to 3rd, the ghost runner, Gordon. Then you got the great play from Arcia, who doesn't let the run score, gets the out at home. Huge. I mean, obviously huge. So then you clear that out, so he's not there in the scoring position anymore. You got a guy at 1st. Louis Arraez gets a single because Louis Arraez can get a single off anybody.
Yeah.
He gets a single, his 3rd straight at bat with a single. So, okay. Now it's interesting again. So you got 1st and 3rd, and AJ has a base open, and he's got Brian De La Cruz coming up, 2-hole hitter. He pitched like a veteran against him, the veteran lefty that he is. He gave him nothing to hit. All the pitches were just off the plate. You go chase it, go ahead and chase it. I'm not going to let you get a hit here because I know who's coming up next. Jazz Chisholm. So he walks De La Cruz. Everything just off. It was so obvious what he was doing. Then Jazz Chisholm comes up. So that loads the bases for Jazz Chisholm. And Minter is just cool as cut. I mean, you could see from his reaction on every pitch to De La Cruz that he was doing exactly what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
There was no frustration whatsoever. And then it was like, okay, now let's go. Now we're ready. And Chisholm comes up, strikes him out with the bases loaded to end the 10th. It was some pitching.
He's got – what I like about Minter is he hasn't tinkered a lot.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what his strengths are. He knows he's got a tough angle. He's got a really good fastball. It's got some cut to it. He's got his cutter. He knows – where his outs are at, and he just lives there. And if there's a matchup where it's like, man, this guy could flare, you have to learn to do that, and you have to have the confidence to do it. I don't think early in your career it's easy to like walk somebody on purpose and trust like
the bases in the 10th.
Yeah, but that's part of why you see that big fist pump, because it's like, I'm gambling a little here, and I'm going to pitch around this guy. But if Chisholm gets a hit, now we're in a real mess. But
yeah, 2-run score.
Yeah, so. What I like about him is he just lives where he's strong, and he hasn't tried to come up with a curveball. You know, he'll mix his changeup in, but he knows that I have a couple really tough pitches, and if I throw them here, I get outs, and he just lives there and plays the odds.
Yeah, much was made for obvious reasons about Tyler Nutsack in the postseason because he had some big balls in that postseason, and he always does this way he pitches. But A.J. Minter's got a big pair himself, man.
Because it's hard to rhyme Nutsack and Minter.
I know. He's fearless.
Something like that. He is, and he's been that way.
He is fearless.
Yeah.
And you ever meet him, he's like probably 5'10", just a stocky little dude, you know, with a mullet. You're like, who's this guy? But he gets out on that mound, and he owns that mound, man.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, if you've got a
97-mile-an-hour fastball with cut left-handed, you should feel pretty good out there.
Lefties against him this year. I mean, righties, it's not like righties are hitting him either. Righties are 3 for 23, hitting 130 with 8 strikeouts against him. Lefties, 2 for 18, hitting 111 against him with 6 strikeouts.
He's dirty.
Yeah, so that gets him through the 10th last night. And then And then you got you come up, and you've got your ghost runner is Acuña, who had a chance, man. He had a chance. You could tell he's not Acuña yet because he had some opportunities last night. And where you thought last year, you know, he would have delivered. He came up with two on in the ninth after Duvall had a one-out bloop double over the first baseman's head in between right field and first base. You thought, oh, here we go. The Braves are going to win it right here. Walk off in the ninth. And then Darno pinch hits, draws a walk. That's why he was in the game to catch the throw from Riley after Trump caught the throw from Arcia. But then he draws a walk, so you got two on with one out. You're like, okay, this is over. The Braves are going to win this thing. And Acuña grounds into a 5-3 double play. You're like, oh, what happened?
So ow. It's over. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the ghost runner in the 10th at second base. I mean, Acuña's a ghost runner at second base. That's, you like your odds. And Harris comes up, first batter. I think it was first pitch, yeah, fastball, and hits it, lines one oppo, which is his strength, between the left fielder and center fielder. We go home. There you go. It's the Braves are 3-0 this year in extra innings, including two walk-offs at Truist.
Yeah, I love Harris in the two-hole. I mean, that's where he – there just wasn't a spot, you know. It's like
– yeah.
The lineup was working too well the way it was, but that's the kind of hitter he is. It should be – I mean, he should be getting as many at-bats a game as he can.
I think I'm pretty certain Snit will revert to Ozzie, though, when he comes back. He's going to be back Friday. He's going to be back in 10 days from a broken toe.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, it's fine. You put him where – you shuffle the lineup however you want.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I'm with you, man. I think I like Harris in there, especially against some pitchers. It's been a hell of a week, a homestand, and they got three more. Now they got – a tough three-game series against Cleveland, which has been probably the biggest surprise in baseball. The rookie manager's doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're – I don't get too excited when teams do this, you know, early in the season. And
they're beating up on crappy teams.
Yeah.
They've done what they're supposed to do against crappy teams.
Yeah.
In their case, I forget, are they the ones that have beaten up on the White Sox and the A's? Are the A's seven games or something? They might have had something like that.
White Sox.
Yeah.
Red Sox, A's. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, and they started off with the Mariners, but they went 1-2.
So then they've beaten up on the two worst teams in baseball, or two of the three, along with the Marlins, the White Sox and the A's.
Yeah. Yeah, they swept the A's. They took two out of three from the White Sox.
A's are not that bad this year. Not as bad as they were last year, that's for sure. They're ahead of the Astros right now, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, but that water will find its level.
Yeah, so the Guardians are 17-7, best in the American League. And the Braves are 17-6, best in baseball. So a nice little matchup this weekend at Truist between the teams with the best records. Braves did what they needed to do so far on a homestand to stay. I mean, the Phillies had gotten within a game of them. The Phillies had won. Had been on some crazy streak and gotten within a game of the Braves after that trip. And now the Braves have pushed them, kind of kept them at arm's length again. They got them at three games out. So, and the Mets, I think they're already coming back to reality a little bit after their little spurt. So they're 4.5 back. I think the other surprise, I know they're still only 10-13, but the Nationals are playing good ball, man, for them. I mean, they look like they're only a year or two away from being competitive. We'll see. The Marlins are a mess. They're bad, man. They got so many guys hurt in a rotation, and their lineup is just bad.
Yeah, it's kind of the same story for quite a while.
Chisholm's been a disappointment. He really has. I had such hopes for that guy because I thought he was on the cusp of being an absolute superstar. This is a guy that was on the video game, the MLB game a couple of years ago, remember? He was on the cusp, and then he got hurt, and he has not been the same since he got hurt and came back. He just hasn't. He's not a real disciplined player, I don't think. I think it really hurts him being in that environment, not having leaders, not having team guys. It's so beneficial to these young Braves to come up and see these guys around them. You know, your Austin Rileys, your Matt Olsons, your Marcelo Zunas. You know, all these guys that they can take their cues from and learn from. There's nobody over there to help these guys, I don't think.
Well, I've seen him talking about, you know, pretty much hating all the veterans when he came up into the league. And one thing that goes wrong in the game is your head gets a little too big, you know. And then if you haven't had anybody kind of guide you through how to stay level, you start buying in, and the baseball gods don't like that. They don't like when you think you've got it all figured out, and then you start having that tenure and nobody can tell you anything, especially when he's a really good player. I think that you got to be taught how to ride those ups and downs and stay level and how hard the game is. And a lot of guys come up and have that early success and they think they got it figured out, and the game's going to humble you one way or another. It's like, that was my biggest fear as a player, was the baseball gods. I never wanted to think I had it all figured out, because every time you do, the game humbles you. I remember my first full season, we were playing the Orioles, and I was 7-0 with like a 2 ERA as a relief pitcher. But I mean, I was having a great season, and it was probably early August or middle of August. And I remember walking up the ramp out to the field, and I was by myself and just thinking about things. And I was like, man, you did it. You're a big leaguer now. You've had a great season. You pretty much put this season in the books. You're going to make the team next year. Like, just got ahead of myself a little bit and kind of patting myself on the back. Like, good work, buddy. You're doing this. I gave up a 5 spot that night, finished the season with like almost a 4.5 ERA. So in the matter of just like 1 second of letting my guard down and thinking I had the game figured out, everything fell apart. And that's just kind of how the game is. I never wanted to have a cocky moment or think I had it figured out, or just shut up and play ball, you know, because I was so scared of letting my guard down the rest of my career.
Chipper said that throughout his career. I mean, here he is, you know, towards the latter third of his career, obviously he was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And he would still say, man, you got to watch out. This game will humble you. This game will humble you so fast.
Every time.
You know? And Snit says it all the time, too. Here's a guy that didn't get past Double A, knows how hard a game is. But he said, you know, he always points out that these guys, these great Braves, have always been the kind of guys that are trying to get better till the end of their careers, because they know they never have it figured out.
You ever let your foot off the gas, the game just eats you alive.
And the game's always so evolving so much, you know, that you can't just stay in your old ways and figure. You get to a plateau and you're fine. You just stay right there. You got to keep trying to get better, man. That's why these guys work all off season now.
And the league figures you out, you know, like there's. Yeah.
Oh, God, man. Just look at Jason Hayward, remember?
Yep.
When they figured out the holes in his swing, just totally exploited it. And it for years.
Yeah. And he was honestly a guy that was as focused and driven as they come.
Yes. You know,
it wasn't like he thought he had it all figured out. He had the right mindset. It's just that hard of a game. And if the big difference is, like, if you get up to the majors, when you're in the minors, you can have a way to get you out and the pitchers can't execute. You get to the majors and you have like, if you can't hit a curveball. Do you remember when Derek Lowe threw Ryan Howard curveballs for, it was like 50-something curveballs in a row. Nobody has any shame. If there's something, if you have a place to go, every team will just spam it. You know, like, they will just throw that and expose that and live there until you make the adjustment. And it's a tough game. And everybody's doing everything they can. Everybody's hungry. And you let your guard down if you think you got it figured out.
And now with TrackMan and all the stats and metrics, data.
Yeah,
they find that weakness faster than ever, and they show it to the pitcher. Exactly. Here's the printout. Look at this. Here's the heat map. I mean, all that stuff's so sophisticated now that it doesn't take teams months to get a book on players. It's immediate now, you know?
Yeah.
So it's even harder. I think it's even a harder game to play now.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, no, you don't have guys like Greg Maddux who are, you know, pitching – changing speeds like him and hitting pinpoint location. You don't have many guys like that because the strike zone's different too, so they can't do that. But you got so many guys throwing hard sinkers and 94 mile an hour sinkers and hard sliders and throwing 100. And then when you do have those guys that mix like a Bryce Elder, you face all of a sudden, it's like, what the hell was this? You're so geared up to. So it's just so much a harder game. And then the hitters are so much. There's so many good hitters, man, that you can't make mistakes like you'd be able to get away with.
No, the hitters are incredible. That's like the thing that always blows my mind is I see a pitcher throwing 97, 98, and you know it's got some life to it, and he throws a first pitch slider, and these hitters destroy it now. Like in my career, especially lefty-lefty, but really anybody, you could throw these get-me-over breaking balls. Because the thought process was different. It was, you know, we're here to hit the fastball. So if you spun a breaking ball in, first pitch, like free strike. And the only guy that I didn't get hurt on it till maybe my third year in the league. I threw a get me over to Prince Fielder and he hit it like 500 feet. I mean, he just destroyed it. And it shocked me because every time I came in, it was like, I'll just spin this breaking ball. I'm ahead 0-1. Now I get to work.
Yeah.
And if you watch the game now, you make one mistake in the middle of the plate, it's getting crushed. Like Ozuna hit a first pitch slider the other day and it just shocked me because I can't remember the pitcher, but you're just like, I don't know how these guys are ready for so many pitches.
And they're hitting balls into below the zone for home runs.
Yep.
And then the changeup that the other night, there were a couple of changeups that
Vines gave up two on changeups, I'm pretty sure.
And they were top of the zone, man. Yep. I mean, yeah, he hung them, but I mean, guys can hit all over the place.
Yeah.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of 755 Forever. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/forever to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/forever. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This homestand shows what kind of pitchers we have, you know, on top to bottom. I think we're very fortunate to have everybody that we have, and collectively as a group, I think, we have one of the best pitching staff in baseball, so I'm not surprised.
Zero had a guy on this morning. David, are you aware, you're out there, former Oakland guy, have you paid attention to what Mason Miller's doing with the A's? I mean, nobody's really watching the A's, but this guy, wow. Yeah. Teams are going to be after making some big offers to the A's. I would hold on to this guy because he's so young. But this is a guy that came from D3 originally and went to, like, Gardner Webb.
Yep.
And then he was throwing 88 in D3. But I could not believe what he's doing right now. They had a thing up of the number of 101-mile-an-hour pitches this year in the majors. He's got like 42. The rest of the major leagues has 36. Everybody else.
That's insane. Some guys are late bloomers. You know, like Blake Treinen, he lives here in Walla Walla. His wife's a coach at one of the colleges. And he was throwing, I think, 75 when he graduated high school. You know, so it's nice for me because I work with some kids to be able to tell them, like, hey, you know, stay with the game. Keep working hard. You never know what's going to happen. But this guy's another example of that. Like D3, and now he's throwing 101.
So Miller's average fastball velo this year, average 100.7.
That's
absurd.
And he's got good off speed too. He's getting some terrible swings.
Strikeout rate 50%, tied for first. Whiff rate 48.1, second in majors. Hard hit rate 18.8. Expected batting average 0.89, second. XERA, expected ERA 1.02. This guy's filthy. Anyway, the Braves are really putting it together. The pitching, it's amazing what happens when he started struggling 6 and 7 innings, because the bullpen was covering so much ground earlier and they have the bullpen to do it. But now they're being able to use guys the way they should. And once again, we talked about, I mean, they got the best record in the majors and they've been without their all-star catcher since the second game of the season.
Yep. Murphy's out.
Murphy's probably still, I would think, 2 or 3 weeks away because he hasn't been cleared to swing a bat yet. And they're being really careful with him because they can't. Because Darno and Chadwick Trump are doing a great job.
Yeah.
So he'll be back in probably, I don't even think 2 weeks. I don't think 3 or 4 is probably more. But he is catching bullpens and he's throwing. He's letting it go. So that's a good sign. He's taking the last 2 days to catch bullpens. Ozzie is only going to miss 10 days. He'll be back Friday. But, yeah, Strider's out, and I would have thought when they lose, if they lose Spencer Strider, they're probably in trouble. And it's like their rotation has gotten better because everybody else is coming around. You know, some guys were really struggling earlier. Everybody except Lopez, really, and Sale. He didn't struggle. But now they're all pitching well, and you like where they're at. You really like where they're at. And their attitude couldn't be better than it is. There's been a couple of moments this year after in the last week, last 10 days or whatever, this homestand, two terrific games. I mean, like memorable games. The three-homer game by Darno and the three-hit shutout by Max. And the quotes from two veterans after each of those, I have to share those because I'm like going, this is the kind of shit I love because we don't get this all the time. And these, you got guys on this team now who are at towards in the latter part of their career, thoughtful guys who say exactly what they think, smart guys. And the result is golden quotes. I told you, I think what's, I don't know if I read the quote from Sale, but it's worth reading after the Darno three homer game. I asked him about, because Darno, after he hit two home runs, after he hit three home runs, the Grand Slam was the third, three straight at bats. He came up again in the eighth inning. He had a chance to hit a fourth home run. Everybody on the team, everybody was at the rail. Everybody was laughing, smiling, high-fiving. Everybody was so excited to watch this. And I asked Sale about that, and he goes, you hate to say it, but you're almost expecting it, right? It's one of those things that's kind of the beauty of this game. The magic that's in the air, and your mind can go to places because of things that have happened prior. And obviously, you go and hit three home runs in the fashion that he did, too. We were down, and then he puts us up with his one home run. And then we're even, and he just blows the game up. He blows it open. That's kind of the beauty of this game, that little bit of magic that's always there, and the wonder, and the little bit of expectation. But just an all-around great night for him. One of those you don't forget. You hang your hat on that one for sure. He said he'll tell that story to his kids forever. You know, we asked him one of the questions, the first question to him, Bo asked him, he goes, how do you feel you give off that leadoff homer to Semien? And then, because he gave up a leadoff homer that night, first inning. Then you settle in, and he interrupted Bo. He goes, to be honest, nobody cares. He goes, we're here to talk about one. He goes, we're here to talk about one thing and one thing only. No one cares about the pitching. No
Get
one
that
cares.
Shit out of here, Bo.
If the fan beat the freeze tonight was about, he goes, nobody cares who was eating a hot dog on the video, whatever. I couldn't hear that part of it. But he goes, tonight was about Travis, and that was nothing short of electric. It was just a very fun game to be a part of. Three homer games, how often do you see that, something like that? And for it to be your catcher, it just makes it more special. He's obviously working his butt off behind the plate, calling a great game, mixing in and out, and just working with the game plan. And then for him to go out on the other side of the ball and do what he did, like I said, nothing short of electric, legendary, awesome. It's fun to be a part of, and you felt it tonight in the stadium. The energy was wild. It was unbelievable. I'm like, this guy's just...
Yeah,
he's just fucking great, man.
Yeah.
So then the other night, after Freed throws his three-hitter, his shutty in an hour and 54, talking to Darno about it afterwards, and Darno's great after those times. He's like, oh, he was awesome. That's what Darno is.
He's chill. But,
yeah, California guy. And he said, on him throwing a Maddux. He said when he was through, when it, he thought he maybe could do it. He goes, when he was through six innings.
He was still in a 50-whatever pitch count, and the Maddux obviously came in my head at least. And just the talk in between innings about how to attack their guys and what was working, what wasn't working, and how we should navigate the rest of the way is always fun, especially with Max because he's so in the present with things like that. And then he gets my point of view, Sal's point of view, Murph's point of view, Trumpy's point of view, and it makes for a beautiful orchestra of ideas that ultimately we're able to get out fast.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, Darno's great.
He's awesome. He's a laid back California dude, but he's like one of those guys that's got that inner fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a leader. I mean, this team, there's a reason why people ask in off season, like when they got Murphy. I was one of those that assumed, I guess they're trading Darno. And Alex told me off, privately, in text, he was like, no, we're not trading Darno. No, that was not very even that. Darno can be with this team for as long as he wants to be because they want him to move into a cut. He's that valuable. That his mind is so sharp and he's that kind of guy, easy to work with, that they have a spot for him when he's done playing. They want him to be part of that decision-making thing the whole time. So... it's just a matter of how long he wants to play. But obviously, when you hit three homers in a game, who's going to hang it up at that point, even if you're tired?
Yeah, and I think, like, you talk to him. If you're around him a little bit, you realize, like, he's not putting a lot of pressure on himself, you know, and, right. and that's contagious, but he's the same guy every day. He's laid back. You put him in, I mean, he's going to have the same at bat, whether he doesn't need to be the hero. It's not about him, you know, so you have him up in a big situation. You feel confident that he's just going to have a good at bat. And if he gets out, he gets out, but yeah. he's not going to try to do too much and go and hit into a double play. If he hits into a double play, it's just random. It's not because he was trying too hard. You know, that's and so when you're throwing to him, it's like, I remember I pitched to him when we were with the Mets together. And I remember being just, you know, my shit was falling apart and I got bases loaded or first and second, one or two outs. And he comes out to the mound like we're in coach pitch, you know, like that's the pressure he's feeling. And having somebody come out that's not all amped up and kind of getting caught up in the moment too, you naturally are going to relax a little bit more. And I think I gave up maybe a fly ball to the warning track, but bottom of the, you know, and the short story is it relaxed me to where I got back in the zone and just fired a strike. But having a guy like that kind of caddying for you as a pitcher yeah. relaxes you so much that you never, because there's some catchers that come out and they're like, what do you want to throw? You know, you can feel them getting rattled too. That amps the situation up, but he's always so laid back. He was great to throw to.
Yeah, I mean, it's just he and Olsen are that's the key. And Charlie, they are the exact same guy every day. They're the leaders on this team, the oldest guys on the team, and they're the exact same same. Sale's got the intensity and all that, but it's a great intensity the way he plays. That's just and he's harder on himself than anybody is, and he's fiery. These guys are the same every day. They're quiet leaders. And there's no pressure from them. They don't make people feel kind of nervous energy or, you know, uncomfortable at all. And like Olsen's went through the worst, longest drought of his career, a hitless drought. It's 7 games. He was 0 for 26 before he got hit last night. And you would never know. You wouldn't know the difference in him when he goes 4 for 4 with a homer after the game than when he's in the middle of a week-long hitless drought. He's exactly the same pleasant guy you talk to and everything. Never pumping his fists and all that. It's just not the way he is. But they kind of set a tone that's it just makes for a pleasant place to be and everybody wants to be there. But it's just part of why I was talking to Moylan yesterday about, you know, some of these contracts that teams are given that are blowing up in their faces. Like Snell ended up having a great year. But that reeked of desperation signing him when he skipped the entire spring training, skipped the entire thing. And you're just trusting that he was working out with Boris. But is he doing PFPs and any of that stuff? Like Moylo said, the kind of stuff where the first 2 weeks of spring training, you're standing around.
That's the thing you can't fake unless you just go to a parking lot and stand there in cleats.
Right. He said all that stuff helps you, man, get ready for the season. You need spring training, you know. So even if he was building up in a progression and throwing in 2 innings and 3 innings, he wasn't doing any of the other stuff that you do at spring training. And he was facing like high school hitters probably, you know, that from the area around Boris's shop in Newport Beach. Maybe JUCO guys that aren't there. But anyway, the point is he didn't have any spring training. Now he's hurt, you know, and he's got this contract with opt-outs on it. It's all it's all player-friendly. If he has a good year, he can opt out. And we were talking about how the Braves have not given any contracts with opt-outs. And well, because they don't have to.
No.
Because guys want to be here.
Yep.
So that all that building the chemistry, man, all that team building, having these guys, it's all part of the big picture. It's all integral. It's not just like, it's a nice luxury to have. No, it's who they are. Guys want to be here so they can get these guys signed long-term.
Yeah.
It's all just part of it.
And when we talk about how long a season is, I mean, it's so important that it's fun to come to the field every day, that you're looking forward to it on the drive, that you walk into that clubhouse and there's 15 guys you want to say hi to. You know, you just spent 12 hours with them the day before, you're excited to see them again. And a big part of that is guys that are the same every day, that you have a duty to bring this personality that you've like kind of given to yourself and everybody's seen. You have a duty to bring that every day. Everybody's relying on you and you all kind of just bring each other up and you're in it together. It's so refreshing. And you can get teams that have all this talent and so-and-so went 0 for 4 yesterday, so he's a dick today. And I'm not going to talk to him. And how's this guy going to be? And then this guy's off in his own world. You know, it's his world. It's big ego. He showed up in his Lamborghini and he doesn't care about your teammates. And you can have this chemistry where it's like, man, I'm not excited to walk into that clubhouse. Or you can have, I can't wait to see my family. And when it's like a family, you go into the field early. You can't wait to get there and just to hang out with the boys. That's, you can't help but thrive in that environment.
And that's why this team never has five-game losing streaks. Right now, they're the only team in baseball that hasn't lost consecutive games. You know,
yeah.
But I mean, in recent years, they've been the only team, the deepest team that didn't before they lost three games, you know, in a row. But I mean, they just don't go on long losing streaks because that vibe is so good in the clubhouse that they don't get down like that. They just don't. Yeah. And I feel confident saying they will not have the kind of skid that almost every other team will have. The Yankees will have a skid where they lose seven in a row. You know,
New York's tough. I mean, New York
and the Braves will not have that this year, which is why there's such a good bet to win the division every year when they have this kind of talent, because they're not going to have one of those weird, what's wrong with them right now? Why have they lost 8 out of 10? You know,
8 out of 10 would be, that'd be tough to see. I tough to imagine, but
yeah, I mean, and that's why they can lose the guys they've lost so far without it having any effect on the bottom line of the team. None.
Nothing's a big deal. We're good.
Yeah.
At all times.
So anyway, all right. Going to be a good series this weekend. Looking forward to it. Then a big road trip. Go to Seattle for three and L.A. to the Dodgers for three with Los Dodgers.
I might try to sneak up there for that series.
So we got a big one coming up, and they've handled this homestand really well so far. Did what they're supposed to do against the Marlins. And I'm interested in seeing Max Fried's next start because he's dominated the Marlins two out of his last three starts. But there was nothing fluky. There was nothing – that wasn't about the Marlins. That was about him. So, but I'm really looking forward to seeing his next start, which will be against Seattle. All right. Appreciate it, everybody. Thanks for watching us and subscribing on YouTube. And go to the merch store and buy some of that shit. We appreciate it. 7:55 forever. We're out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.